Over there.
Good Chodesh, everybody.
Second class.
Yeah.
I want to thank the Siegelmans for sponsoring this morning's the breakfast and the shears, the Ilui Nishmas Shlomo Ben Yitzchak. Shlomo Shehav and Aliyah, we thank him for that. Suli Herkum wasn't able to stay. We want to thank him as well for the beautiful, beautiful, uplifting davening. That's the way it should be. Megina, beautiful. Without further ado, it's a big zechus for us to host the Rebbe. Razin Rebbe is known throughout the greater area as a Baal Masbir, as one who very clearly articulates very profound ideas, and that's our zechus to have the Rebbe with us this morning.
Thank you so much for the kind words. We and your Rav and I, to be more exact. We've learned together many, many, many different topics, Baruch Hashem and Bezeich, over the years. Spend many times, not so much face-to-face, more over the phone maybe, but Baruch Hashem. You have a schus to have such a rav. I'm sure you know that, but it's always good to hear sometimes from the outside. It gives a little bit of a chizik. Well, some rebbes back in Poland, they used to send a chassidim to other rebbes as well to go see a little bit what's going on out there. Like this, you appreciate what you have back home. If you stay at home, if you stay there all the time and you don't realize, you know, sometimes you always think that there's something out there a little better. But when you go out a little bit, then you realize, Baruch Hashem, I'm happy with my lot. Everything's okay. Say the famous story about Rabbi Yankiv, Rabbi Yekel, Rabbi Isaac Yekel. He lived in Krakow. There's even a shul today that he built. It's called Rabbi Isaac Yekel Shul. So Rabbi Isaac Yekel is a famous story about the dream that he had. He didn't have parnasa. He had a dream that under the bridge in Prague, there's wealth waiting for him under the bridge in Prague. He had a dream one night, two nights, three nights. It kept on repeating itself. So he decided, he has nothing to do over here anyway. So he might as well give it a try. He traveled down to Prague, and he came there. He realized it's not so simple like he thought it was. There's guards around the bridge. You can't just go and dig under the bridge. It doesn't work. So he's walking around, comes, you know, morning hours, afternoon hours, checking, if, you know, what's the best time for you to start digging to act upon his dream. Finally, after a day or two, they see him roaming around, looking. The guards come over to him. One guy comes over to him and says, what do you want over here? What are you busy? You're looking, you want to bomb the bridge down? What do you want to do over here? What are you looking for over here? He says, I'll tell you the truth. You might not believe me, but this is a story. I had a dream that under the bridge over here, there's a treasure waiting for me, and I decided to give it a try. It's usually, I'm saying it has probably more of a chance than the winning the lottery. Probably, you know, and, you know, statistically speaking. So the guy starts laughing. He says, dreams, you listen to dreams. I had a dream that in Krakow, there's a guy, his name is Isaac Yekels, and under the fireplace in his house, there's a treasure. So what do you think? I'm going to pick myself up and travel to Krakow and go dig under the guy's house? I'm not going to do that. That's all he had to hear. He went back home. And he comes inside. His wife asks him, what did you get? He says, you can't speak until we right away the shlichus, right away. Two shovels, they start digging, and lo and behold, the treasure was there. Sometimes you have to go out to realize that the treasure is in your house the whole time. We're sitting right under the fireplace. But you have to travel to Prague to realize the treasure is back home. So Baruch Hashem, you have a treasure here. And so I'm telling you, you don't have to go out to look. I'm telling you, it's okay. I did the work for you already. I wanted to. When the Rav asked me to speak a little bit on certain topics, maybe a little bit about Kislev and Chanukah, a lot of thoughts came through my mind. Baruch Hashem, Kislev and Chanukah is a month, and the Yom Tov full of wonderful ideas. And I wanted to speak something a little bit, that is built on the Svarim of Ishbitz and Razim, which is where we come from. So a lot of thoughts were in my head, and I wasn't sure which one to follow, and which one. I'm going to try to put a few, to articulate a few of those thoughts about the significance of Chodesh Kislev and Chanukah, and try to share it a little bit with you know, this chash v'olam. I think b'schus this v'olam will get a little clarity in a certain topics of Kislev and Chanukah. So we'll do it together. Bear with me together, and we'll take the journey together a little bit. These moments that we have to explore a little bit what the Ishbitz Sfarim, the Radzina Sfarim, have to say about Chodesh Kislev and Chanukah, which is Chodesh Ein, holy days and special days. But sometimes they get looked, they get cast aside. You know, the Yom Tov, we know it's big Yom Tov, the special davenings, and there's, you know, Sudas and everything. Chanukah sometimes tends to get pushed aside because it's business as usual. Everything is normal. You just come and you light some candles, have some parties and things like that. You know, but we can't get carried away just with the parties. We have to realize what actually Chanukah is all about and what Kislev is all about. I want to begin with a thought that I heard from my Zayd Zechanu Brocha, the Razina Rebbe Zatzal. He said it over numerous times. It's based on Kadmoinim. And I think with that we'll begin to open up a little bit the light of the Ishbitz Torah on Chanukah. The Pasuk says, in Parashas Vayishlach, there's a famous story between what transpired between Sar Shal Esav and Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu with the Sar Shal Esav. It says, Vayivasa Yaakov Levadoi, Vayayovik Ish Imoi Ad Alois HaShachar. You might have spoken about this once in the past, I don't remember. Yaakov remained alone. Vayivasa Yaakov Levadoi, Vayayovik Ish Imoi Ad Alois HaShachar. And a man came and wrestled with him until Alois HaShachar. Who was this Ish? Chazal say it was the Sar Shal Esav that came and started up with Yaakov Avinu. Vayar ki lo yochor lo, he saw that he can't overpower Yaakov. Vayiga bekaf ki rechoy, and he touched him at bekaf ki rechoy. That's where he was able to be mazik, to somehow harm Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu limped afterwards, but he couldn't overpower Yaakov Avinu altogether. Eventually Yaakov Avinu asked him for bracha, and he said he can't. He gave him a bracha, and Yaakov Avinu's name became Yisrael as well. Kisariso im alekim va'anoshim matuchol. That's the parasha, a very fundamental parasha in Yaakov Avinu's life, and if you could say it's also a transforming moment of Yaakov Avinu's life. What exactly happened over here? So parasha pshat, Yaakov Avinu remained alone. He was probably waiting for a long time to start up with Yaakov, but the whole time he was together with his family, he didn't start up. Yaakov Avinu took his family over the Marva Yabrik, over the water. And then he remembered that he forgot the Pachim Kitanim, he forgot some small jugs. He went back for the Pachim Kitanim. And Chazal say, hey, you see, tzadikim, mamoinim chavav aleim yoyesim igufam, the money is worth to them more than the guf. And he went back for that, and that's where the Sar Shal Esav started. So I have a couple of questions. I'm saying, it's mind-boggling if you think about it a little bit. First of all, the Sar Shal Esav is an angel. He was scared of Yaakov Avinu's wives and his children. That's what was holding him back till now to start up. Yaakov Avinu is alone. Now we can take care of him. What's going on over here? We're talking about an angel. What's the difference? One person, two people, three people, the same thing. Why do you wait till this moment? That's first of all. Second of all, what was Yaakov Avinu thinking? Even probably if $1 million, it's pikuach nefesh. If you know that there's an issue going back, you don't want to go back because you left pachem ketanim, so you go back. If it's a sakana, it's a sakana. If it's not a sakana, it's not a sakana. But if it's a sakana, chov valeim yoisim igufam, it's worth more than your own guf. Are you allowed to do that for pachem ketanim? What's this mysterious nefesh for pachem ketanim? Make it sound like this is like the fundamental yisoides of Yiddishkeit happening right now over here. We got to go back and get those pachem ketanim. We got to get those pachem ketanim, those little jugs. If not, all is lost. All is lost. We got to go back. What are you? Okay. Fair. If it's so important, take everyone back and go back together. If it's not so important, so leave it. And that's it. Yaakov Avinu was a wealthy man. Right? Who gave him a right to be Moisa Nefesh for Pachem Ketanim? What's the Bikoch Nefesh over here? What's the Mesirus Nefesh over here? Mesirus Nefesh, you have to leave for the important things. Not for. It's true. It's Chashiv. But not for Mesirus Nefesh. Did he have a right to do that? How do we understand Pashu Pshat in such a Pasha? What's going on over here? And then he touched him with Kafkirechoy. He didn't come in altogether, but the Kafkirech, and then a whole thing that happened. And then Yaakov even got the name Yisrael. it seems kind of like a weird story that happened over here. So my Zaydis Chanevracha said, what lies over here is actually a huge, huge, huge momentous thing that happened in Klal Yisrael's life. It's based on what's brought down the Azkenim, I think, brings down by Yevosi Yaakov Levadoi, Altikri Levadoi, Lelekadoi. He went back for a Kad, which is where the Chazal take, he went back for the Pachim Ketanim. But this Kad wasn't just a regular joke. This Kad was a Kad of Shemen. It was oil. This Pach was a Pach Shemen of oil, that this Pach Shemen had a mission. And the mission of this Pach Shemen was that ultimately Klal Yisrael took this Pach Shemen with them, this Pach with them through the Midbar. They came to Eretz Yisrael and it was hidden in the Beis HaMikdash eventually. And when was it found? It was found by the days of Chanukah, when the Malchus Beis Chashmonoi overpowered Yavon, and ultimately they were able to come back into the Beis HaMikdash, return to the Beis HaMikdash, and they saw everything is Tomei, and then they found a Pach Shemen, Sheyimunach B'chaisomoi Shal Kohen Godel. The Pach Shemen was the Pach of Yaakov Avinu. The Beis Yaakov Avishbetz writes something very powerful, he says. He says that the Nes of Chanukah, well, after this Beis Yaakov, we'll return a little bit to what we were saying till now, just to give a little bit of a broader picture. The Nes of Chanukah was a Nes, not that something happened, something changed in the course of nature. For example, Kriyas Yamsuf, something happened. Up until now, the Yam was rushing and flowing, right? And for a moment, Kriyas Yamsuf, or any other Nes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Klal Yisrael, for that matter. Over here, the Chashmonaim came into the Beis HaMikdash, the Kehanim, whoever came in, right? And they were looking for Shemen. There's no Shemen. There's no oil. There's no Shemen Torah. Everything was Tomei through the Yevonim. Everything was Nitmo. All of a sudden, they found a Pach Shemen, Bekeren Zovius, Shemunach, Bechaisom, Shal Kohen Godel. Now, this Pach Shemen wasn't created just now. It was there all along. So the Beis Yaakov, that's the Yeshua that Klal Yisrael brought, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought to Klal Yisrael, was a Yeshua that was there all along, lurking in the darkness. You just couldn't see it. And then they found it, and they saw it. It's a type of Yeshua that was there in front of their eyes all along, just they hadn't recognized it. Mm-hmm. But it was there all along. It was there all along. Nothing changed. There's the famous Ishbitz that writes that it's the same thing. Beis Yaakov writes it, but it's really based on the Me'er Shaloyach. That this is exactly what happened by the story of Yosef and his brothers. And that's why he says the Parsha of Miketz and Vayigash usually is read, always read around Chanukah, sometimes Miketz, sometimes Vayigash. It's always read Chanukah time. Because that's the same story with Yosef and his brothers. He writes in Me'er Shaloyach, writes in Chedek Aleph and Chedek Beis, the same thing. He writes the different nuances in both of them. Yaakov Avinu, Yosef HaTzadik, and his brothers had a confrontation. They had no idea it was Yosef. It was the Mishnah Lamelech of Mitzrayim. He accused them of being spies, of being robbers, of being ganovim. Everything was going wrong. All they did was they came to buy a little bit of food. Right? That buying a little bit of food went so wrong that no one in the wildest dreams could have imagined how bad it turned out. They came down to buy, they were accused of being spies. They had to go back and bring Binyamin also. They come back and bring Binyamin, they were all accused of being ganovim, of thieves. And they're going to be thrown to jail. Shimon was already thrown to jail. Everything was going wrong. All of a sudden, in the beginning of Parashat Vayigash, Yosef, Yochel Yosef Lesapik, and he says, Ani Yosef, what changed now? Did anything change in the story? If you look at the picture, it's the same guy sitting on the throne, same people standing in front of him. Everything was the same. Nothing changed. What changed was the clarity, the glasses, the way to look at it, right? That's what changed. Up until now, they looked at it as being accused by the Mishnah Lamelech of Mitzrayim, and then they realized it's Yosef HaTzadik, it's their own brother sitting over there. That's what changed. So the Yeshua was in front of their eyes constantly. They were just in the darkness as to what it was. But as soon as the Yeshua came, as soon as the Rebbeinu Shlom opened their eyes, nothing changed. They just realized that everything is perfect. And that's exactly what Nes Chanukah was all about. that all along the Pach Shema was there. You just have to be a mammon, b'munish lema, that the Baruch Shalom Yeshua lies right in front of your eyes. You just can't see it sometimes. But you dive into the Baruch Shalom, the Baruch Shalom will open your eyes. P'kach einecho re'ei, right? Su einecho. Just take a look, and then you'll realize that everything is there all along. And then the Yeshua is there. And that's what's going to happen when Mashiach comes as well, he says. He finishes off. When Mashiach comes, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, B'shuv Hashem es shiva siyoin hayinu kecholimim. We're going to be like dreamers, which refers to the days of Golus. The days of Golus are going to be like a dream. During the dream, everything feels really, really, really real. Right? Feels like you're actually living through it. But when you wake up, you realize it's all a dream. That's what we're going to look at. The Yeshua is right in front of their eyes. We're going to realize it was all a dream. All of a sudden, everything is clear. Everything is clear. And he was a medayik from a pasuk. And the Navi says, V'hoyu kasha lo yizanachtim. V'hoyu is a lashon avar. And it, V'hoyu is a lashon asid. V'hoyu. And it shall be, kasha lo yizanachtim, that I never abandoned you in the avar, in the past. That I never abandoned you. Well, Mashiach comes, it'll be Yeshua. The Kashbocha is not going to abandon us, take us out of Golos. What's the avar? I never abandoned you. Well, how are you? When Mashiach comes, you're going to realize, Ashaloi Zanachtim, that I never abandoned you, even during the Golos days. I never abandoned you. This is the Nes of Chanukah. This is what Chanukah was all about. Yaakov Avinu knew all this. Yaakov Avinu knew all this. And Yaakov Avinu wanted that corner, that Karen Zovius, that pintle, that Nekuda of Yeshua of Tahara should remain constantly there. And this is Pach Shemen had a purpose. This was the Nekuda of Yeshua of light with all the darkness that will envelop Klal Yisrael in the future. This is going to be that beacon of light that's going to be there. That ultimately they're going to find it and realize the Baruch Hashem was with us all the time. This is going to be the huge chizik for the Yidden in the days of Yivanim, of Yivanim, and even later. Till today, we live off the chizik and the emunah of Chanukah. We live off that. We live off this koyach that the Yidden found that Pach Shemen. Chayre, everyone knows the famous question. It wasn't even necessary, right? They asked the question. There's many different atarim. He didn't need this nace. But it was necessary for chizuk of klai. He didn't want the tahara. And the Rebbe showed them that there's tahara all along there. It was never touched. That was Yaakov Avinu's pintle of tahara, of the Yeshua that he set aside for klai Yisrael. And when he left that Pach Shemen back there, he said, this is bikuach nefesh. I'm going to go back to be meisen nefesh for that Pach Shemen, because this is the essence of the emunah of Klal Yisrael. This is what's going to keep them afloat through all situations. La'asid, this is what's going to keep them afloat. This was going to keep the Yidden nischazik. And he went back to Mesiras Nefesh to get that Pach Shem. Here's where the Sar Shalazov stepped in. Up until now, of course, he didn't like Yaakov from the beginning. He wasn't a great fan of Yaakov Avinu. But eventually Yaakov was going to meet Esav. They'll have their run and then, right? But for that Pach Shemen, I can't let that Pach Shemen go back to Yaakov Avinu's hands. I can't let that Pach Shemen back. Klal Yisrael can have that moment that there's an or within the Choshech. There's a light within the darkness. We can't let that. They wrestled around just on this Nekuda. Not for the Pachim Ketanim. This Pach was something that meant so much more than just a little Pach. This Pach was the essence of Klal Yisrael's existence throughout Golus. The Bezyakiv writes many places, Yaakov Avinu was the forerunner of Klal Yisrael in Golus. Yaakov Avinu was the one that established how Yidden are going to live through the Yimei HaGolus. He was the first one that went into Golus. True, Avraham Avinu Taka went to Mitzrayim after he came to Yisrael, but this was before Klal Yisrael, this was before the Shvatim were established. He came, he went out, he came back again. But Yaakov Avinu already lived in Yisrael with the Shiftei Koh. And he was the first one that went to actually to began Golus Mitzrayim with him coming down to Mitzrayim. He was the one that we were all with him, it all started. And Yaakov Avinu, throughout his life, was busy with one thing. How am I, Kindlech, going to live through Golus? When Mashiach comes, will there be someone left to take out of Golus? Under natural circumstances, it's impossible that anyone is going to be left. thousands of years of godless, and is Yaakov Avinu force all this? How what's going to keep Klal Yisrael alive? What's going to keep them strong and holding on to their faith, their emunah? Yaakov Avinu says that he implanted 8 eras in Mitzrayim to take along with them in the Midbar. This was to build the Mishkan for the Ashrois of Chin and Klal Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu sent Yehuda, as Yehuda Shalach Lefonov, to establish a Beis Talmud. If you have a yeshiva, you have a Beis Medrash, that's what will keep the Yidden together. That's what's going to keep the Yidden afloat in Golos. You have the Bati Medroshes, Bati Nesiyos, the yeshivas. These things are what keeps a Jewish life alive. The place where Yidden can gather together to be Neschazik and to daven to the Ribono Shel Olam. That's what Yaakov Avinu is the first one to establish a yeshiva. In Mitzrayim, we're coming to Eretz Mitzrayim. Before we come, we have to have something waiting for us. We have to have a Beis Talmud. Without that, it's doomed from the first moment. As Yehuda Shalach Lefonov to establish a Beis Talmud, to establish the yeshiva, Beis Medrash. Number one, Yosef HaTzadik ended up down with time also to establish how Yidden could be Oymed Ben Asoyin. Yosef and Yaakov were together on this. Yaakov Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik were the ones that established how Klal Yisrael is going to exist. And this is one more piece to that puzzle. Yaakov Avinu said, I'm going to have a Pach Shemen. This Pach Shemen is going to be lie dormant for many, many, many years. But at that moment, when the Yidden are going to think that all is lost, everything is Tomei, all is lost, there's no pintle of Tahara, there's no hope anywhere lurking beyond the corner, beyond that when you turn, that's when the Pach Shemen is going to come out. All of a sudden they're going to, this Pach Shemen, it wasn't just created. This is around for so many years to show us, to show the Klal Yisrael in those moments. All along, there's always one place where the Nekuda has remained pure. There's always the Yeshua lying right beyond you. Just open your eyes, so einecho, ure'ei, and you'll see. If you look properly, if you mistakel, and you look, eventually you'll see. The Moshe Talmud, just open your eyes, and you'll see everything. And this is Yaakov Avinu's one of his biggest gifts that he gave to Klal Yisrael. We're named after Yaakov Avinu, right? Bnei Yaakov, Bnei Yisrael, Adas Yaakov, Bincha Mechayrecho, Shemei Avoscha, Shehafto Isoi, Umisimchoscha, Shesamachta Boi, Krosa Shemoi Yisrael, Vishurim, the Ahav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed to Yaakov Avinu, and the Simcha, that he was so happy with Yaakov Avinu, this spilled over to Klal Yisrael. Krosa Shemoi Yisrael, Vishurim, this goes on all the Yidden. Fika Chanach, Chayovim, Lohoidis, Lecho, right? That's what we have to be Meshabech, to the Bonnie Shaloylam, the Schuz, the Koyach, the Yaakov Avinu instilled within us. This is Chodesh Kislev. I want to say over a Mordi Gestikl of the Meir Shaloyach. He writes over here, there's a piece in Chedi Kalev in the Masechtas Megillah. He goes through all the Chadashim over here. He puts it into a Gemara that goes through all different types of languages and explains different words in different languages. I'll just say what it says over here. This is the Gab Chodesh Kislev, it says. Ma was called a ksita back in the going through the Arvi, the languages. And that's Neged Chodesh Kislev. Why? And the Chodesh of Kislev, a person has to mevar himself b'chem das momoin. Kedisa b'gemor Yishalmi, the Gemor Yishalmi says, Liba b'kisa talia. A person's heart is talui in his kiss, in his wallet, his pocket. That's the Lashon Kislev. Kiss, leiv. Kiss is the pocket, and leiv is the heart. Right? Kiss, leiv. You know, leiv is with a vav, but it's with a base as well. Kiss, leiv. The kiss, leiv. The leiv of a person is dependent on his kiss. So you can say it's dependent on the kiss. Listen, if a person has money, then he can have his heart in the right place. That's what some people might say, right? But obviously we know that the main thing that a person has to work on is the chemdas moment. Chemdas moment doesn't refer just to money. It refers to oilam hazeh. It refers to the choshech of Yavon. Yavon, what Yavon brought, Yavon's gift to this world was a dominant and a dominating and overpowering oilam hazeh. That's what Yavon's gift to this world was. And the reason why this oilam hazeh of Yavon, which is the culture of Yavon, was so it is so powerful, Ad HaYom HaZeh, and especially for Klal Yisrael, this Nisoyin is one of the biggest Nisoyinis that the Yidden have today, is we get caught up with Olam HaZeh, the things that we need, things that a person is supposed to do, but we get so caught up with it that it overtakes our entire life, that we lose focus of what's really important. It's because Yovan has a shaychus to Kedusha. Yaftal likim liyefes, v'yishkom v'ol l'shem. He has a shaychus. It's things that are necessary. And if they're done properly, they can be Kedush Kedusha. Olam Hazeh is not a steer with Kedusha. Olam Hazeh is not a steer with Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh is a proizder to Olam Haba. If Olam Hazeh is utilized properly, it becomes a stepping stone towards the Varm Shabbat. It becomes the Varm Shabbat. Famous Higeres HaKadosh from the Ramban. Those that know, right? Everything about Olam Hazeh is important, but it has to be done properly. Yovan made a Olam Haba out of the Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh, this is it. This is it. This is what we're all about in this world. Klal Yisrael says Olam Hazeh is important. Of course it's important. But as a proizer to Olam Haba. Not in its own right. And this is where the difference is. This is where the different nuance between Shem and Yefes is. The Bessianki writes a beautiful thing, he writes. Sadi Sharma, I think. Sadi Sharma writes in the story of Shem, Chom and Yefes, when Noach drank after the Mabul, the first Kiddush that he had, that he gave after the Mabul, they came out of the Mabul. There was a big Kiddush, a huge Kiddush club over there. And Noach was the first one to get drunk by a Kiddush club. There you go. He got drunk over there on the Yayin. And he had the famous story. Obviously, Chom saw it and he came to tell his brothers, Boy from Shalgnus, take a look at the way our father Yaakov is lying. Come take a look. And Shem and Yefes, no, they were mechabed the father and they went to cover him. Chacharanis even, not to look at the way the father's laying, and they covered him. And both of them were zoiche tischar. Shem was zoiche to talus shel tzitzis. Was it tchelis tzitzis? You say. The tzitzis and tchelis was by the story with the malachim with malach zdoim. Yefes was zoiche. The after lekim liyefes vishkam al yeshem. He was zoiche to kvura that the Indian kvura. What's the difference in the schar? What's the pshat? The shem was zoiche to talis, and Yefes was zoiche to something simple. You know, kvura, very nice. Vishkam al yeshem. What's the chilik? What's the difference how you do it? It's a very Olam Hazeh thing that you just did right now. You mechabed your father, which is a very, very seicheldik thing. It makes sense. Olam Hazeh, it's a beautiful, nice thing. Your father's laying in a not mechabedik way, and you go and you cover your father. It's a simple aspect of Olam Hazeh. But Shem did it in a loftier way. This Olam Hazeh, it's kibud av. It's valach to bedrachav of the Rebbein Shloim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do this. Of course, it's the right thing to do also. But it's also something loftier, something higher. Yefes did it simply because Olam Hazeh is important. So Father, you cover him. He brought you to this world. Come on. You have to cover it. Which is also Choshev. But it was Olam Hazeh in its own right. So he was Zoyche to Olam Hazeh digging things. Kvura. You call it for the body which has no connection to Olam Hazeh anymore. You put that away. You mechabed that. The guf, which is important also. But it's not the essence of the person. The person's essence is not his body, it's his soul. But you mechab the guf. You cover it. Shem was zoich at a talus. You oitif the guf, the person's body, you oitif the talus after the kfur also, but the kfur also, right? It's because, what does the body need a talus over there for? But no, it's the neshama goes with the talus, not the guf. The talus of mitzvah is something which is makasha yiteruchnius. It's a shmir, like the famous Gemara watches over a person trying to fall. The day is nus. Olam Hazeh, the famous story of the Gemara, where a person was almost nichshal in his nus, and the talus came and talus of tzitzis came and saved him. Tavchi alponov, the famous story. I'm not going to go through the whole story over there. It came and whacked him in his face, and that's what kept him. That the talus is a dovish of kedusha. It's something that brings ruchnis onto the person. The person is mis'ativ in the stylus. It brings him into a world of an oramakiv of ruchnis. That's what Shem was zeichet. Because his Olam Hazeh wasn't Olam Hazeh in its own right. It was Olam Hazeh that's connected to Olam Haba. And that's the difference between Yidden and Yovan. That's a big difference. That is a big difference. The koich of choshech, right? The choshech of pnei sohaim, Chazal say, the choshech, zu galus yavon. That's galus yavon. Yavon brought a darkness onto the world. It's the same olam hazeh, dark. Olam hazeh can be light and it can be dark. It depends how you go about it. There's a dark olam hazeh. There's a light. There's a olam hazeh full of light. If a yid lives with lichtigkeit, he lives with that light, that pintle that lies beyond. The olam hazeh becomes lightened up. It becomes an olam hazeh that brings in the light of olam haba. But if a person lives olam hazeh in its own right, olam hazeh is olam hazeh, and that's it, kozer re'evik kadesh, then olam hazeh is darkness, because when a person is just groping around in darkness, there's nothing beyond it. That's it. This is it. There's nothing beyond. This is something that's worthy in its own right. This is what the Sod Yesharim writes. The Yankiv and the man, so beautiful Meir Shloich over here. He says, see if I find it over here. I believe it's in the Mishlei. B'ni yim tikach imra yim tzvoisai says lahakshiv l'chachmo oznecho. Listen, your ear should listen to chachmo. And then it says in the pasuk later on, the pasuk in Mishlei, im tivakshenu kakesef. If you're going to search for the Chachma, that's the Ruchnius, Kakesef, Os Tovin Yiras Hashem, V'Das Alikim Timtzel. Then you'll understand and you'll find Das Alikim. So the Meir Shloich is Medayik, he says, Lahakshiv, L'Chachma Aznecho, means you shall do it, Lahakshiv, to listen, right? But later on it says, Im Tvakshen Kakesef, if you'll search for it, Kakesef, it's an Im. Why is that an Im? Why is that not? Tvakshenu. Make sure you look for the chachma kekesev. V'chamatmoyin t'chapsenu. You should look after it like a treasure. So he says, Dr. Ishbet Samar Dikizach, he says, what a person can do, the koyach adam is that a person can listen, can open up his eyes and ears. That's what a person can do. That's all a person can do. We're in darkness. Golus Yavon Baruch Hashem has not stopped. We're still in Golos Yavon. We're still already in Golos Edom and in Golos Yishmol. But Golos Yavon still accompanies us ad hayom. The Olam Hazeh brings the darkness onto the person. Not because Olam Hazeh is bad. It's because Olam Hazeh in its own right is dark. We have to lighten it up. That's the job of Yidden in the entire world, to bring Lichtigkeit, to bring light into the world. Everything's always, you know, say the famous story of the Heidegger Rebbe from Lublin, the Chayze. The Chayze was Nifte. And the children were there, and they divided the Yerusha between themselves, the different chafetim of the Chayza. Rabbi Yosef, he had a son of Yosef, I think his name was Rabbi Yosef, maybe from Turchin, I forgot where he was Rebbe. He got his father's clock. Famous story, he got his father's clock. And he was traveling back home, he stopped off in an inn, he had to stop off in a motel, it was called a kretschme. He didn't have money to pay for the night, because he couldn't travel, but he had to stay overnight, but he didn't have money to pay. So he says, Rebbe, what could the Rebbe, you know, he dacht chpanusa, what, you know, episode. So the Rebbe said, listen, you know, I want to give you something. Geld, your money I don't have. But I got something from my father's Yerusha, it's a chash v'zach. Take the clock. Is the clock, you know, it's worth something, the clock. He took the clock. Many years later, one of the Chayzah's Talmidim, I forgot which Talmud it was.
Or Ora Meir.
The Ora Meir traveled through the same Kretschma, stayed there overnight. And he came there. And he stayed in the same room where the clock was on the wall. In the morning, the Balabas, you know, or Rameo, was a famous Rebbe, he asked Nuhar, the Rebbe, how was the bed? The Rebbe slept, the Rebbe rested. He says, I'm almost tired, I didn't sleep all night. I couldn't sleep all night. He says, what happened? He says, you have to tell me where you got the clock from. Mm-hmm. Where is that clock from? Something about the clock, I recognize it. Where is the clock from? So he says, it's the Rebbe from Lublin's clock. He told him his son was here. He says, I knew it. He said, how did you know? He said, listen, a regular clock, when it ticks, it's an atzvazdika ticking. Another second passed, another second lost, another second that will never return of your life. As we're talking right now, another second goes by, another second. We're getting closer to the end of our days, right? That's what it is, right? From when the person is born, every second brings them closer to the end. So the Rebbe from Lublin's clock was a whole different clock. Every second, another second closer to Yemoisa Mashiach, to the end, to the Tikkun HaSholim. another second closer to Mashiach's days, another second closer. Same ticking. It's just different with a different perspective. She says, I was so happy. I heard the ticking. The ticking was a different tick. I was all night. I was so besimcha. I couldn't fall asleep. I couldn't fall asleep on the ticking that brought the Bamish. It brought me emotions of Yemois and Mashiach. It brought me such a simcha. Ticks the same, but it's different. It's a difference just in the perspective of how. The Chayz's perspective was mashpia on his chafetim as well, like it says, behemtim shal tzadikim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe the kol al-yidem, because even a chafet of a tzadik has a shaykhaz to the tzadik. Pilchas ben Yair's donkey was also ganz choshev. A donkey doesn't have any bechir, but it belonged to him. Once this thing belongs to a tzadik, Meshulach has a whole arichas about that, how that works exactly. But the bottom line he writes is that every single chafetz of a person, b'shoyish, is connected to the person. The root is connected to the person. That's why something is wrong with you, the chafetz, it's mashpia on the chafetz. That's why something could happen. It could be mazik. But by him of a tzaddik, nothing, no bad can come out of it. Same animal. What belongs to a tzaddik, it's b'shoyish connected to the tzaddik. And I always add on, when a yid connects himself to a tzaddik, whether it's through a live tzaddik or through his Torah of a sefer and things, the more you connect to why you're a tzaddik, you become part of that. So it's also, it's not, you're not worse than an animal of a tzaddik, right? If an animal of a tzaddik is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, if a yid is connected to a tzaddik, if a boss of a dom connects himself, you know, b'shoyrish, he tries to become connected to a tzaddik, then, I don't know, why should we be worse by us, you know, not worse than the animals, that's what I think, no? That's our job, to connect ourselves. Whether it's a live tzaddik or it's a tzaddik that a person learns his Torah and connects himself to that, to the Torah HaKadosh, to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melech Malchim Lechem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't have to go too far. Baruch Hu himself. So back to the Meshulach, he says, what a person can do is always listen. You can listen. You can place your ears closely, open up your eyes. That's what you can do. But the cheshek of a person, the brand that a person has to actually see the beauty of the world, the kesef and the kematmoinim, to see how geshmak everything is, that you have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can open your eyes, and you could search for it. But Im Tevak Shana means it's Bakasha. You ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give you Cheshik. You could apply yourself to it, make yourself a clear Roy Lekabel, make yourself a vessel that can be Mekabel, that Kedusha, that Geshmak, that Ruchnias. But what ultimately happens, you have to Dam to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to pour in. And that's what Chodesh Kislev is all about. The Chodesh of Kislev is, Kislev, like we said before, is when we take the Olam Hazeh, we put a lathe to it. We put our heart. Mm-hmm. We open our hearts. That's what we can do. Open our hearts, eyes and ears, which is connected to the heart. That's the Pesach to the heart, right? The Einayim and the lathe. Like the Pesach says, and the Pesach says, see, the Einayim is the Pesach to the heart. The person opens his eyes. He opens his ears. He listens carefully. And then the Baruch Shalom gives you Siyata Deshmai. You have Siyata Deshmai that you all of a sudden you start seeing things you haven't realized till now. Same thing. But you begin to see the world in a different light. You begin to experience Ruchnis. You begin to experience Yiddishkeit. You begin to experience Avodas Hashem, davening, a Yom Tov, even a chesed you do with someone else. You begin to see it in a different light. You begin to appreciate things differently. And ultimately, the biggest bracha is that it spills over to other people as well. It spills over. Everyone knows. In the world of chinuch, the biggest chinuch is to be a dugme ishes, to be an example, right? You have to be a good example. That's the biggest chinuch. Just heard the Amor de Gevort that it says in, see if I remember, beginning of Parashas Vayera, it says that Avraham Avinu is mechanach Yishmol to help along in the Achnasas Archam over there. So Kasha is, who asked the Kasha? The Vishiva. Chaim Mei Yehuda Vishiva. He asked the Kasha, so why will Abakar Rotz Avram? Why did Avram Avinu run himself? Why didn't he send Yishmael? Avram Avinu was weak also. He was weak. Send Yishmael to Mechanachim in the mitzvah. You should run, bring the... So many different truths. And one of the truths is because the biggest chinuch is to show that you're running. Like, it's the biggest chinuch. Of course, he helped out also. But not everything you should do, you have to do yourself also to be involved as well. That's the biggest dugma issues, right? But when a person, the biggest dugma issues is not just to do the things, but to do it in a way that your geshmak spills over to your children, spills over to your friends. When you're chedik of a kehillah, it spills over to the people, other members in the shul. A person sees that someone that's alive. His Yiddishkeit is alive. It's not something, you know, there's no choshech here. It's light. It's or. It's or. It's lichtekeit. It's lichtekeit. It's a whole different ballgame. That's the biggest nitzachon that we have on Yavon, is that our lives are full of light. Kinei mitzvah v'toyer or. That's why we light the Chanukah licht. We light the Chanukah licht. We kindle that Chanukah menorah. It's because it lights up the Nei Hashem Nishmat. It lights up our whole life. It lights up Yiddishkeit. And this is the hemshich of the menorah of the Beis Hamikdash, famous Ramban, right? That Aaron HaKohen was very, very upset that he didn't have that he wasn't part of the Nesiim. There were 12 Nesiim, but brought Karbonis, and he wasn't zeich to be part of the Nesiim. Kushevet Levi wasn't part of the Nesiim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, "Shalachog doyda mishalahem." You have the menorah, so yours is bigger. Why? Because yours is the olam void. Yours is nitzchiyus, the menorah. But the Nesiim, the Karbon, the avoid in the Beis Hamikdash, the Nesiim is only. The menorah is not nitzchiyus. The menorah stopped also when Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. There's no menorah anymore today. So the Rambam writes that Chanukah's Beis Chashmonoi, the menorah that we have today on Chanukah, is a continuation of the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash. When we light the menorah, we kindle our neshamas. We bring in a first of all, a varmkeit, a warmth into our lives. But we bring also a cheshik, a geshmak, into our lives. And that overpowers the koich of Yavon. Because it's not cheshach, it's or. The Rebbe Shalom created light. Cheshach is called as Yavon. They want to bring darkness into the world. We bring light into the world. When are we up to time-wise?
5 minutes.
What?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. This is just a couple of thoughts that floating through my head. I'll finish off with one more gedank. We know that in the Sifrei Chassidus, the world of Chassidus, which is based on Kabbalah, based on Chanukah, especially Zois Chanukah, is the Gemar of the Yom Neiroim. Shani B'Kippah Sukkis. But the Gemar, the end of all of that, is Chanukah time. Zois Chanukah is the Gemar Chassima. That's what's brought down as a Chiddush in the Sifrei Chassidus. Based on maybe certain Kabbalah Zachen, but it's a Chiddush from Sifrei Chassidus. I once heard in the Mir Yeshiva many, many years ago, Shlomo Wolbe, the Mashgiach, got up, was Zeus Chanukah was, I think, and it happened to fall out on the day that he gave a Shmuz in the Yeshiva. He started off a Shmuz that the Sifrei Chassidus is in the Zbar, Zeus Chanukah is the Gemara Chassimus. He gave a Shmuz about that. But that's a Chiddush from the Sifrei Chassidus. It's interesting, you know, where, you know, what explanation of that is. You know, there's the shtiklich about it in Egypt, it's for him, not pefeish or shtiklich, but nirmas, within the word, you know, within the words, the shtiklich in Besyankiv speaks a little bit about the koyach of the inyan of the Gemara Chassima. So I'm not going to go through the whole arichas mamish, you know, but there's one little aspect that's relevant to what we were speaking about till now. When Yaakov Avinu was lost, Yosef was lost to Yaakov, because never the Yosef Atzadik Me'oviv. Choshech va'afeda b'chol ha'olam. This is a medrash brought down. It brings down. It was choshech va'afeda. It was darkness. Yaakov Avinu lost his Ruach HaKodesh. It was darkness. Because Yosef was the right hand to Yaakov Avinu, and when he was lost, a darkness fell upon Yaakov Avinu. Ash nestalka Ruach HaKodesh mi'Yaakov Avinu. And all the Shvatim lost to Madregas also. Everything went down. Until when he eventually found Yosef HaTzadik many, 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 many years later, 22 years later, then the light came back. So it's interesting to note that what was Yaakov Avinu doing when he met Yosef HaTzadik? It says Yosef was crying on his father's shoulder, but Yaakov Avinu wasn't crying because he was busy learning Krishma. Mm-hmm. Krishma now? Out of all times, you're waiting 22 years for your son, right now you have to write Krishma, like this second? But no, the light that Yaakov Avinu got back, he saw Yosef HaTzadik when they reunited, the Or that came back to his life, the Ruach HaKodesh, that was a lichtigkeit that he all of a sudden saw with clarity again, the Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We know that Yidden, deep down in every Yiddish hearts, the Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Deep down, right? Deep down, that's what lies beyond. Deep down, that's what's there. Even all throughout the years, we know Yidden that we're not the biggest Erlich Yidden, totally removed from Yiddishkeit Bechlal, but when we're faced with the situation of Kiddush Hashem, what came out of the mouths, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Why? Because deep down, it's a shtickle of the Meshulach speaks about a parashas Vayechi, the Yaakov Inu, instilled that to everyone of the Shiftei Kod, the Koyach of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So every single Yid has that. Every single Yid has that Koyach of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, deep down. But we don't always have it with clarity. We don't always have it with clarity. Sometimes we get up there and we scream it out loud. Every time we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad loud. But the marshal by Ne'ilah, that's when everyone is screaming out Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. Why? Because you didn't finally, after a whole day of being the Skadish, Begdusha Shalmail of Yom Kippur, we don't eat, we remove ourselves from everything, we're Mamish, Kodesh Kadosh from Hashem, then we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Sometimes we say even more when we get to Kofis. After a whole month of avoda, ato horeis ladas ki Hashem hu elikim ein oidim levadoi, which is similar to Hashem elikim Hashem echad. So, you know, with a noifach noisof, won't get into that discussion. That's the koyach Yaakov instilled in every one of the shiftei kol. And when he got that lichtigkeit back, when he met Yosef the first time, he said, "This is the Shema Yisrael Hashem elikim Hashem echad that I'm going to instill in every single yid." Every Yid should have that clarity. Deep down, you're able to connect to the clarity, the aura of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's an emuna, but many times it's just an emuna pshuta. We believe, but we're still in the darkness. But we mispalda, we should be zeichet to the light of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We should be zeichet to be able to understand it, to be able to see it with the clarity. Say the Hedik Baditch Verov, his shver was not a big chusid. The shver. Wasn't too happy with the fact that he went off to Mizrich, to the Maggid. I say about the Baditchev, I say about other people, but the Baditchev, he came back from the Maggid. Shver, you know, wasn't a happy camper. He left his daughter for I don't know whatever it was, for a few weeks maybe. He left. He says, "No, so tell me, what did you learn in Mizrich or the Maggid? What did you learn over there?" He says, "Well, I learned Asadu Agot of the Welt, that there's a Rebbeinu Shlom on this world, there's a Kodesh Baruch on this world." He says that you have to go to Mizrich. Called over the shivcha, you know, a cleaning lady that worked over there, a girl. Says, "Tell me, do you know that there's a Kodesh Baruch in this world, there's a Abish on this world?" Says, "Sure, of course I know." No. She didn't go to Mizrich. She did it right over here. Right over here, she knows it. "Well, you have to go to Mizrich. Maloy Cholor is Kevoida, you don't have to go to Mizrich." She says, "Anachanami, you're right. But she says she knows. I know." Yiddish says, "Sie zukt, dass sie weiß, aber ich weiß." The chalik, a person, of course. Of course, a person's man in Mamunish Layman, it's a madrege. But Yaakov even wanted that Yidden should be able to sometimes be zoichet to those moments of clarity, of an aura, of a lichtigkeit. It shouldn't just be a munah pshuta. The munah pshuta should bring a person sometimes to live it, you know, with that aura. It should lighten up a person's life. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Not always do we have it. We don't always have it every single moment of our lives. But many times we have those glimpses of Kadosh Baruch Hu, like, you know, Mashgiach min acharakim, meitzes min achaloynis. He peeks beyond and he says, "I'm here." Gives a, you know, a lighten up, and we zoich did, like, you know, get a glimpse of Shechina Gdoshe. Not to see the Shechina Gdoshe b'chavoy deva'atzim, but to get a glimpse. There's a Rebbeinu Shleim. People have that in their lives here and there sometimes. A person zoich, HaKadosh Baruch Hu smiles to him and says, "I'm here." Like by Avraham Avinu. Hits all of Balabira. I'm him. We're not going to always have it. But we have to draw upon the inspiration of those moments. Every person has that moment sometimes. Something happened. Wow. Sometimes you don't realize it. But then a certain person learns to stop and focus sometimes. Wow, take a look at that. To me, it sounds like some weird story. But ultimately, you see, one second, this story can actually go into Pesach Kron's book. It's a story. It's a mice that happened to me. It doesn't happen only in the books. It just happened to me right now. Such a story. We don't realize it. And Kodesh Baruch Hu was... smile to you. He said, I'm here, don't worry. You know, sometimes we tend to forget it. Yovan has such a power that it makes us forget. It's a koyach ha-shikcha that Yovan brings to this world. A person connects himself to the kisa covered, there is no shikcha. A person has to realize that we can become great. We have koyach ha-sadirim, and we can become connected to the Baruch Hu in ways that we have never imagined possible. And that's the Chodesh of Kislev that we have today. Today's Rosh Chodesh. It's Man Kapor L'chol Tardoisim. It's a Man of Kapor. It's a Man of Kapor Savoinis. Why? Because Rosh Chodesh is the day where Kodesh Baruch Hu says, at the beginning of the month, push aside all the Umayis Oilam. Right? The sorry that we bring is the sorry from Umayis Oilam. We're here, I'm here. We're clients all together. That's the Koyach of. Finish off with the story. The Heilige Ishbitze is the ankle with the Razina, Abgeshen Heinach. He was a little kid. He was a little kid and he was running near the river in Ishbitze over there. The Chassidim used it for the mikveh. He was running over there. He bumped into one of the Elter Yid and one of the Elter Ishbitze Chassidim, Elter Yid. He bumped into him. He was a little kid. Bumped into him. He says, Ingele, Abgeshen Heinach, watch where you're running. He says, what? Why do I have to wave like a sharp mark? Why do I have to watch where I'm running? He says, why? He says, you could have said I'm an elderly yid, you know, have derech eretz for any yid. He says, I'm an enikel of the chayz of Lublin. I'm an enikel of the Rebbe of Lublin. He was an enikel of the Rebbe of Lublin. The Ishbet Chassid was an enikel of the Rebbe of Lublin. He says, okay, I'm an enikel from the Rebbe. The Ishbet, you know. I'm a grandson of the Rebbe. You're a grandson of the chayz, and I'm a grandson of the Rebbe, the Ishbitze, the Rebbe, your Rebbe, our Rebbe. He says, yeah, but the Chayz of Lublin is bigger than the Rebbe. He says, you're right, but the Chayz of the Rebbe of Lublin is much bigger than the Ishbitze. The Ishbitze was alive then. Much bigger than the Rebbe. This was something that, there's someone that's bigger than my grandfather. His grandfather's the biggest Rebbe in the world. So someone bigger than my grandfather. So he runs to his grandfather to the Ishbitze in the Meir Shalach. He says, Rebbe, Zayde, you know what this and this chuset said? He said that he's the ankle of the chayze, and he said his grandfather is bigger than you. Greater than you. It's not true, right? He says, it is true. It's true. The Rebbe from Lublin, the chayze, is bigger than me. But I'm still alive, and I can become bigger than the chayze. I'm still alive. He has to realize that we have the koyches that we have, we're alive, we can become great. We have the koyches to become great. We have to open our eyes, open our ears, and the main thing is to open our hearts. And then mispal to the Moshe Shalom should be very koyches lechem broch ad belidai, should fill it up. And we should be able to connect to the Moshe Shalom in ways that we haven't even fathomed that's possible. Because the light is there. The Pach Shemin is there. Yaakov Avinu made sure about it. We just have to realize it's there, deep down within each and every one of us. There's the Pach Shemin. Shbizoyche Beis Hashem, have a good Mechoidish, and Beis Hashem, a Lichtigkeit, a Gewaldige Lichtigkeit, a Chodesh full of light, a Yomte full of Lichtigkeit. And again, it's my schus to be able to be mishtatav a little bit in the Oilam, with the Oilam over here, Shachash V'Oilam, to clarify a few Inyanim over here, and I am greatly appreciative. You all invited me over here, so Beis Hashem, I'm looking forward to the next invitation. Be well, be Masliach called to Vagit Nerev Shabbos.
Where did you say the Pach Shemen, the idea of the Pach Shemen came from?